Hey everybody, it's Aldo Gandhi, and I just want to let you know really quickly that our swag shop is reopened. DeepDishTees.com is where you go, and that's Tees with T-E-E-S. Clever name, guys. They're the new home of our merchandise. You can get t-shirts, you can get caps, you can get coffee mugs, you can get hoodies, you can get all sorts of good stuff, and you'll help out the barroom with the purchase. So head over to DeepDishTees.com.
This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Radio is scripted now. We just come up with it. We don't use computers. We don't rehearse. We're going to talk about this next. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the Bulls. And then we're going to have Brad Fix on. And then we're going to have all this. No. No. If you don't know what you're going to talk about in the top of your head before a show, you shouldn't be in the business. I don't know what you got. I feel like Vince Vaughn in a couple's retreat. The sharks are circling. Old school, baby.
You're listening to the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now.
That's right. The Mike North Advantage starts right now. I am Aldo Gandhi. I'm Mike Swingman, and there he is in living color. Screen left for those of you watching on video. He's to the left for those listening on audio. He is Mike North. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
Just follow me at Aldo Gandhi, ladies and gentlemen. What's up, buddy? Got a little frisky with the beard there with the gray, huh?
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, you got a little Gabby Hayes in you. Little Gabby Hayes. Everybody knows Gabby Hayes was a sidekick to many a Cowboy star, from Roy Rogers to Gene Autry to Randolph Scott. Gabby, you know what? If you're named Gabby, there was a barber in the area, and his name was Gabby, and his moniker was, if you're shabby, go see Gabby. So, you know, not too many Gabbies. What's going on, my friend?
What is happening? King Pookie Nation says today is Bobby Bonilla Day. Does that mean that he's still collecting a check for doing nothing?
Yeah, what one of the greatest fields in the history of sports. I mean, being paid till 2033. I got to be honest with you. I mean, you give credit to the agents getting paid, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, the agent, whoever he is, I mean, maybe it was Boros, maybe it was somebody like that. He's getting paid, too. So, Bobby Bonilla, congratulations. Mm-hmm. You never lived up to it, but that's okay. You were still a decent ball player. You played with Pittsburgh, played with the Mets. Not a bad ball player. Played with the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the White Sox let him go, and then things started happening. They were spending money at the owners like drunken sailors, so good for him.
Yeah. There were other ball players who got great contracts and were played well way after their career. And
Julio Cruz.
Yes, that's the name I was thinking of. That's him.
Yeah, I'm a walking Wikipedia, my friend. You know that. 1983, winning ugly. Julio Cruz, I think, is collecting $800,000 or something, or even more than that, from a contract he signed with the White Sox. I mean, it seems like before lights were put in, you know what I mean? So good for Julio Cruz. Good for anybody that gets it. I mean, you know. Mm-hmm. And you earned it. Whatever way you earned it, you got it. So nobody really cries for the owners, no matter what. Nobody gives a damn. Bobby Bonilla gets a day for him. Not only does he get does he look like a genius,
mm-hmm.
And his agent, his representation, be nice if somebody put the agent up there and said, "Happy Bobby Bonilla Day," you know, because the agent did it. And maybe the Mets.
Uh-huh.
Who are crying every time they have to write the check. Mm-hmm. But, I don't think he even does anything for the Mets.
Yeah.
You know? Nah. Like, screw you. Thanks for everything. God bless.
Exactly. You know? Hasta la vista. Hey, Chubbs, one of your big fans, says Mike North is like the old guy that sits by who sits at the family reunions.
Okay.
You sit by him because he tells hilarious jokes and tells the snobby relatives to go F themselves.
Chubbs must be related to me. What can I tell you? I was doing the same thing when I first of all, I'm not an old guy, Chubbs. I know what you mean by age, but that's BS. Don't worry about it. I can go. Nobody can go with me. I can still go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 15. I don't mind. Okay? If I forget something, it's not because I got some timers. I just forgot it. You know, I see Charles Barkley making mistakes. I see this guy making mistakes, that guy making mistakes. All right. If I make the mistake, you know, the only thing they can get on me is nonsense. I mean, because you know what? I still got it, baby. Nobody wants to go against me. I'm still the champion of the world, and that's just the way it is, Chubbs.
That's right. Now,
what was your question again? What was it about again? Oh, I'm the snobby uncle. Yeah. No, I'm the fun uncle because we had no kids. So when me and B come over, yeah, I was the fun uncle, you know, jump in the jacuzzi with me guys or, you know, with my nephews and nieces back in the day. Hey, let's eat a whole 5-gallon bag of pasta salad. Those were the days, my friend.
That's right. And I want to tell everybody that they can listen to Mike on ESPN's 1000s, The Odd Couple with Carmen DeFalco and the rest of the crew. And then every week at 11 a.m. on the Win Daily Sports Twitter channel, you can check Mike out on Bet Like Mike Show. Right, Mike?
Yeah, thanks for the plug, Aldo. I appreciate it. And, you know, I'll tell you, the Win Daily Show is one of my creations, a 20-minute show. I have always thought podcasts at times, it's up to the individual.
Right.
You know, there's not many podcasts. I mean, I know that they say that if you get over 500 views per podcast that you do, you're in the top 5%. So it's very hard to get a loyal viewership. So I appreciate, and Aldo appreciates that, number one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and number two, there's a lot of talent out there. Now, you don't know what you're going to run into. Win Daily, we thank them all the time because they're our title sponsor. Not many podcasts have money coming in.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't say it was a snobby one. That's okay, Chubbs.
Chubbs was saying that you then tell snobby, the relatives. Snobby ones to go F off.
Yeah, I was hurt for about 10 seconds. No, but Johnny Jansen, who's a great, great co-host, Carmen DeFalco, he's mm-hmm. great. Carmen's the best.
Yes, he is.
Along with all my people that I work alongside with, and including Eldo. John Jansen, I'll tell you what, I know I'm getting older. John Jansen's a pretty good talk show host. He does the show with me every day. So I'm talking about Wimbledon yesterday, okay?
Right.
And I'm telling them, man, when I was younger, it was Borg, McEnroe, Connors, you name it. I know they have Serena Williams now. America really hasn't been great at tennis. When we're praying that Coco Gauff gets to the next round, you know, things got to get better, okay? But that's when they argued. That's when Connors went nose-to-nose with McEnroe at the net, said, I'm going to kick your ass. If you got a problem, let's go. It had more personality, more drama. McEnroe, you didn't even know if he was going to show up or not. Then he tells the ref and half his family to screw off during the match and everything else, you know. And I said, you know what? It was also like a lot of rivalries. Goody Two-Shoes versus the bad guy, you know. I'll give you a perfect example. I said, Chris Evert versus Martina Navratilova. Mm-hmm. And I said, John, I'd love to see a Navratilova in her prime play Serena Williams, because I happen to think she'd give Serena Williams a little bit of a ass kicking. Okay,
really an ass kicking.
I do. Well, I think it would be a great match. Mm-hmm. I think there's not many that could play with Serena mm-hmm. as far as women are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Evert was a great tennis player, but when Martina showed up, it was a whole different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to see that. And he goes, he didn't know who Martina Navratilova was. That's what I did. I go, because I'm telling her, it was Miss America versus the communist black country. You know, she comes and sneaks out of her communist country. She comes in, she's Martina Navratilova. I mean, she's got this build. She's quick like a cat.
Right.
This and that. She's playing playing basically Doris Day in with a tennis racket, you know, in Chris Evert. Say, que sera, sera, whatever will be, you know, the golden child of America. And he goes, "Who's Martina Navratilova?" I almost fell backwards in my seat. I'm getting older, but you got to know who Martina Navratilova is. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, that's like not knowing Drago from the Rocky movies, you know.
Right. Come on, you got to know Drago.
Yes, exactly.
Martina Hingis was pretty good, but she wasn't on roids or anything. She was like, you know. She was basically dwarfish when she played against some of those girls, yeah. Even back then, you know, so I just was shocked by that. I go, "Oh, you son of a gun." That took me about 5 minutes to get myself composed. You got to know Martina Navratilova, Johnny.
You would.
And by the way, we're on every day at 11 o'clock for more hijinks. Today we'll be on at 11 o'clock. Follow Win Daily at Win Daily Sports and follow WinDailySports.com.
There you go. Absolutely. Those are musts.
Every day. Come on. I had the Mets yesterday. How's that for everybody? I was 2-1 the day before. Yeah, I said, you know, I think I like the Mets. They lost 20-2 yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. I like the quick death. Don't waste my time in losing the ninth inning. Just stop me. Make me bats in Goodfellas. Just put me in the trunk and stab me. You're still alive. Kill me before you throw me in the car.
Mike, but I got to pay you another compliment because, yes.
One more?
One more, and then we'll talk about it. You came up with this idea of doing a 20-minute daily Twitter video, and it's just genius. It's just like when you talk to the people at the WXRT.
Right.
And
Danny Lee.
Danny Lee, and you convinced him to do Chicago sports.
Yes, I did.
And other ideas that you've had over your time in Chicago here turned being a successful hot dog owner to a Hall of Fame iconic broadcaster in Chicago. So congratulations for that. Yeah. Just keep on trucking, brother.
Well, we're going to talk about my Twitter handle after the show because we're going to make some changes. But if everybody notices, I'm in a much better mood. Because I've stopped the nonsensical debating on Twitter. And Eldo knows this. He's been following me forever. All I do now is handicapping, dog pictures, maybe some hot-looking babe, something like that. I mean, Bears Barroom stuff, Win Daily stuff, ESPN 1000 stuff. That's it. And I'm so happy. I don't have to put up with the nonsense, you know. Because I'm a talker. I'm not really a typer. I've had very much success, and I thank Twitter. I'm not one of these haters like other people are. Sometimes do I see some suspicious things going on with my Twitter handle and others? Yes, but that doesn't matter. I love Twitter. It's helped keep my great career, which I've had, alive, and people got to realize that. If you take the good with the bad.
Right.
And you know what? Bears Barroom is so great. Eldo's so great. He is. He knows it. And if he wasn't, I wouldn't say it. He knows it. I throw around compliments like sewer covers. I mean, but Bears Barroom's been huge. All the guys that were part of it from the beginning, everybody.
Yep.
I don't care if you were here or you left. I love you all. Plus the listeners like Tooch and Harp and Heidi and Karen. You know, everybody, I mean, I know I'm going to, all you guys.
Can't list them all.
Can't list them all, but you know what? I love you all, so.
Here's a guy that deserves a shout out. Q from Cincy. He listens to any and everything that you put out. He loves you.
He loved me, man. He used to listen to me on Fox. Yeah. Andy Furman and I in Cincinnati. I got a pick on that game at the end of the show today, the Cincinnati Padre game. So stick around, Q. He gets excited when I focus on Cincinnati because I'm basically the only guy probably in America that does that. Going throughout, focus on Cincinnati. Him and his buddy Andy Furman and my buddy.
Chubbs has some good advice. He says, "I regularly utilize the mute button on Twitter. Otherwise, I'll get kicked off again."
It just drives you nuts, you know. But, you know, it's all good, and I love Twitter. I love social media, and that's just the way it goes. Everything happens for a reason. It's all good, you know. So
absolutely.
Thank you very much, my friends. Okay, so
you got
that's just the way it is.
Hey, all right, let's start off with some bad news in the Chicago sports area. There are allegations that the Chicago Blackhawks have covered up a sexual assault charge from a former player from the 2010 season. This gentleman here by the name of Bradley Aldrich is the, let me take this thing down because I don't want to associate it with Bradley Aldrich. Bradley Aldrich was the assistant video coach for the Chicago Blackhawks, and a player alleges that Bradley Aldrich sexually assaulted him and that he went to the Chicago Blackhawks and said that he and another player were assaulted by Bradley Aldrich. They did nothing. And in fact, the allegation is that the Blackhawks went on and gave Bradley Aldrich references, and Aldrich went on to commit crimes. He's actually in the sex registry in Michigan for a crime that he committed there with a juvenile, and the allegations are just starting to pile up. The Blackhawks say these allegations are I forgot the exact word that they use, but that they're not, they should not be legitimized. So they are in trouble because apparently they did something wrong, but perhaps they didn't. But the evidence is starting to pile up against them. What do you think about this whole mess, and what do you think about the Chicago Blackhawks organization? Is this a stain on them?
That it's out, it's a stain on them. Whether it's true or not, I don't know enough about this case, but I'll tell you this. I've often wondered how grown men end up in that position where they sometimes won't even speak out, and you got to speak out right away. And apparently this guy did. Now, I don't know. Was this during McDonough's reign? Is that why he's gone? You know, there was speculation now that this came out, that it was maybe something to do. And I'm just telling you what I hear.
Right. Sure.
This isn't from what I say. I think sometimes I'm out every day, but I mean, there was, as soon as this came out, I want somebody to tell me you didn't at least think a minute about Jonathan Toews. Where's he been? And then yesterday you see Jonathan Toews come out right after this stuff, Aldo, saying, hey, you haven't heard from me since Patton was a corporal, but I thought I'd step out today and tell you hip, hip, hooray, because there's some allegations against my club. And all of a sudden, hey, I'm back a couple days after this stuff comes out in a pertinent way. There's been whispers about it. I don't know what's going to happen. It's disturbing. You wonder how it comes about where, I mean, if somebody told me that was happening to somebody on my club, I'm calling the guy in right away. I am. So somebody knew something. Somebody's covering up something. Don't, if you're the Blackhawks, half-ass statement sort of, Eldo, you know what I mean? Right, we've been in the media.
Right.
So they really said nothing. They said something, but it's really baseless. They're basically ignoring it or trying to ignore it or making a very brief, very impertinent statement about it. So I think where there's smoke, there's fire sometimes. That's it.
Yeah, it is very suspicious that Jonathan Toews' video from the organization is released a day after these allegations become.
Well, I'm just telling you what I thought right away and what other people, I'm sure. Right.
I mean, they could be trying to just, you know, distract people from what's going on with the Toews' good news that apparently he is recovering from the sickness that he has, chronic fatigue syndrome.
I had that for about 25 years.
I have it every morning.
I'm exhausted, but I keep on moving.
Chubb says that he guarantees you every team in sports has a non-disclosure agreement with somebody who made an allegation.
Yep. That could be, but we don't know that. Here's what we do know. If you're the Blackhawks, you don't want anything out there like this.
No.
That's what you don't want.
That's right.
And the fact that this guy has had other allegations in other states is even more crazy.
Right.
Hockey's been famous for this. There was a kid back in the day, and you know he wasn't the only kid that was sexually molested, named Sheldon Kennedy. Back in the 70s or 80s, I think it was. These kids used to stay, and maybe they do, with host families at the junior hockey stuff, tournaments or teams where you're 15, 16, 17 years old, And then this came out that this kid was like, you know, taken advantage of and stuff like that. So hockey has this type of history. It's just surprising it got to this level, you know. Not that the person that's, you know, proposal allegedly doing it says to himself, oh, I'm 25 now, or I'm 30, I'm a coach, I'm going to stop.
Yeah.
He's probably, this happened way before the Blackhawks with this guy.
Right. Sheldon Kennedy, according to Wikipedia, is known by for going public as a victim of sexual abuse
by
coach Graham James in 1998. Graham rollerbladed across Canada to raise awareness and funds for sexual
abuse. I was on the air when that happened at WSCR.
Oh, okay.
And I, 95. I mean, I thought it was way before that. That's the years pile up, folks. But I knew that. I mean, I'm a walking Wikipedia, folks. Sheldon Kennedy came right to mind. And Eldo and I don't discuss none of this stuff.
No.
Before the show, I knew right away. So they have a history of this stuff. But so do a lot of institutions, like the Catholic Church, you know. I mean, every the Boy Scouts of America. Okay? You're just surprised when it's an older group or an older guy.
Right. Well, and I mentioned this the other day, is that the Blackhawks have had a sterling reputation. Since Rocky Wirtz took over, it had become kind of the model organization of the NHL. They went from a team that had probably 30% capacity at the United Center to sellout crowds, win three Stanley Cups in 5 or 6 years or something like that. They were just looked at as the best, but now we're starting to see things that are troubling.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is, like I said, whether it's true or not, it's in the papers. It's on social media.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, that's just the way it is. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, what Rocky Wirtz does. McDonough's very quiet. Was he the guy? I love John. Mm-hmm. But was he the guy that snuffed out this whole situation? There's other people that we know there, that I know there, that were they involved. So we'll see. Well, did they know from the top what happens to the franchise if they did this? Mm-hmm. You know, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Let's talk a little basketball now, because I'm interested to get your take on what is going on with the Milwaukee Bucks. Man, oh, man, that injury Giannis suffered. Here's some video of it. That left knee, watch it, hyperextend right there. Oh, my goodness. And they say people at the very top of the stadium in the upper decks could hear the screams of pain. He was, though, able to walk off very gingerly, but he's not going to play tonight. Do you think that this means the Bucks are doomed and the Atlanta Hawks are going to move on?
No, not really. I mean, you see what they did the other night. I mean, you know, Trae Young didn't play. I mean, you know, you just see what, look at, congrats to Chris Paul and these guys that, you know, on Phoenix. You know, nobody had those guys. They were 50-1 at the beginning. So I think, yeah, they're alive. Middleton's got to come up with a great game. I think what you miss when you miss Giannis is the inside presence, the easy hoops. Most of their damage now will be three-point shots from what I can see. Mm-hmm. They've lost now him and DiVincenzo. So I think it's going to be tough for him. I'm not betting the game. I don't want nothing to do with the game. I wish him nothing but the best. You know, the rash of injuries, I don't want to hear about the schedule. They only had two. Here's what I'm hearing now. Well, they only had 2 months off. These guys used to play 8 hours a day from the time they're 5 years old for 300. If they could find a gym, 360 days out of the year, and even if they play in a cold weather city. But in hot weather cities, they play every day. They had 2 months off. That's plenty of time to heal up. It's a bunch of crap. Even I heal up in that time. You know? I mean, my God, that's insane. Look, all you have to do, and the compacted schedule and all this crap, it has nothing to do with it. Six of the nine are from, like, three of them, Eldo, including Trae Young. They stepped on somebody's foot. Yeah. That has nothing to do with starting earlier than usual. That was, he hit the side of that guy's foot, the freak, and his knee buckled. That's four. They've had, out of the nine injuries, six of them. And now watch this. Right there.
Yep.
He hits the side, his knee buckles, because if he lands flat, he's okay, I think. But they've had six injuries like that. Bang knees, something like that, the knee buckling, or in three of them, including stepping on a ref's foot, Trae Young. So it's just a freak year. There's been 9 All-Stars hurt. And you know what? It becomes a battle of attrition. And that's what, hey, who's going to be the healthiest at the end? Nobody guarantees you're going to have your stars. But I still will say this. They better change how they treat their stars. You better play more. Nobody spars for a week before they go into a boxing ring. You spar all year. You spar if you can 6, 7, 8, 2 months before your next fight.
Mm-hmm.
You don't sit around. Look at James Harden. He wasn't injured because of the schedule. He was injured because he was fat. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Kyrie Irving, he was healthy and he didn't want to play. Mm-hmm. So then when he gets screwed up, they wonder what's the matter. This load management's like analytics. Worst thing to ever happen to sports, pushed by a bunch of weaklings. A bunch of weaklings. My God. Got a little dizzy on that one, don't you? Hey. send your letters to the editor right there. Hey, by the way.
What do you got? Oh, Fillon Stadium. Oh, my goodness. You played there, right?
I played there for 2 years. Now, people, wait. I'm going to just explain this to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It says here, Fillon Stadium, 1938 to 2005. Mm-hmm. I get it. I wish I had the money to spend to start Fillon's again as a little league unto itself. I played there in 1963, 1964. I was on the Cardinals and with our project at Aldo Night coming up. I'll have a picture of me in a Cardinal uniform. Authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Fillon's was the greatest. He had an A league, a B league, a C league. We tried out on a rainy day, a 9-year-old in the parking lot there on Kedzie.
That's right.
And Devon. I'll never forget it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did great. I ended up being in the C league first. Then if you improved, you went to the B league. You know, I only played 2 years. So I went from C league to B league, made the All-Star team twice. I mean, you played under the lights, your stands, refreshments. You could hear the guy going, Coke, Coke, you know, like you're a real ball player. Mm-hmm. Electric scoreboard. It was the best. If you folks get a chance, look it up around the country at the greatest little league that's ever been. And they used the authentic uniforms. I don't know how he got away with that.
Yeah.
And I met Nellie Fox there. I met Ernie Banks there.
Mm-hmm.
They showed up. Nellie Fox and Ernie Banks in uniform show up at Fillon's and are hitting balls. It was awesome.
That is awesome.
A salute to Mel Fillon's. His son is still with Goon Great, Mel Fillon's Jr. Wish he still had the little league.
You are a Chicago guy through and through.
Oh, yeah, baby.
You brag about it all the time.
I love Chicago.
And partly because of that, Chubbs.
Dillon's was Williamsport before Williamsport.
Chubbs is wondering, you were wearing a Cardinals uniform?
That's what team they put me on. What do you want me to do? Tell at 9 years old, start negotiating? What the hell's the matter with you? You got assigned to teams. You had all the coaches there, and there was a draft. I don't want to play for the Cardinals. 9-year-old Mike North holding out. The fiery second baseman says his glove is underrated and he's not getting enough backing from ownership. What the hell's going on over here? You had the Sox. You had the Cubs. We had the Sox, Cubs, Yankees, Phillies. I don't know. Cardinals.
Kurt Flood and Mike North.
Yeah. I'm nobody's pawn. great little league.
That is awesome.
Oh, God.
But yeah, you're right. Fillon Stadium is
iconic.
It is great. I'm surprised there's nobody's made a documentary on that. I
think there's been stuff on Channel 11 and stuff, but if they ever do, I want to narrate it.
Yeah, you.
You're a guy. I saw the king in his court there. That was four guys, and he was a 12-inch softball. Played the top teams, 12-inch, fast, underhand.
Yeah,
I love it. He beat pros. He beat pros.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Good stuff.
Yeah, they say that, you know, because there have been some female softball pitchers who have struck
out. Queen in his court. Outstanding.
Yeah. Albert Pujols struck out, and he was out.
Oh, yeah. Willie Mays struck out. Johnny Bench.
they were asked afterwards and they said the timing is totally different. You know, the ball's coming out from a different location. It's different. And I'd have to get used to it. I just can't go up and get a hit right away.
And you never hear, I mean, I watched the women play in college. You never hear about them moving the mound back. My God. I played 12 inch once, fast pitch. I played slow pitch, but I played fast pitch once. Mm-hmm. I went 1 for 3. I struck out the other 2 times, and the third time I hit a dribbler down the third baseline because I swung as soon as the guy let go of the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about what you got to do.
Yeah, really. Yeah. King Pookie Nation is already talking football. He says, no way Justin Fields loses to Andy Dalton, and that is going to be the topic of discussion as soon as those guys report to camp in a few weeks. But I just wanted to ask you, the over-under on the Bears is right now 7.5 wins and losses.
Wait, with Justin Fields on the team?
With Justin Fields on the team.
Yeah. Why isn't it 14? Oh, boy.
Do you think that number goes up if Aaron Rodgers chooses not to play with the Packers or sits out this season?
It better.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. I saw Pro Football Focus. I don't know about it. I don't listen to a lot of sports radio. You know, I listen to my show on the Odds Couple. If I have a winning week 6-7 times in one weekend, I just laugh and go, I love this show. Or I'll listen to what me and Eldor are saying. I retweeted out the show. We got a ton of views. We don't care. But I'm here to tell you something. Aaron Rodgers is going to lose $30 million. Mm-hmm. And if I love how people think that's easy to part with. And I don't see the Packers saying, oh, you know, they say certain things. He's a different type of guy or this and that. But they're not being, you know, really insulting. And I just think they're saying, okay, if you don't want to play for us, give us our $30 million back. We'll figure something out. We'll go with Jordan Love. We didn't want to. But, you know, we had you under contract. I think, you know, his luck is different than Tom Brady's. I think wherever he goes, he'll be looked differently at, even if he was the MVP. I know this, Tom Brady is so much more revered than Aaron Rodgers ever will be or any other quarterback, including Joe Montana. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if he goes to Denver and lays an egg, you know, with Vic Fangio, I mean, so.
Fangio.
I happen to think he's still going to play for Green Bay. Mm-hmm. But it better go up if you lose Aaron Rodgers. It's sort of like Chris Paul mm-hmm. with all the All-Stars going down. They're saying, well, he's left. I don't care. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's back and he's left, that's his. Finally, he's got some good fortune.
And, Mike, it's just been revealed that Aaron Rodgers has a potential out for the season. If he decides to take the COVID option out by this Friday, the deadline is this Friday, he can still get $12 million in pay from the Packers and choose to sit out because of
– And he would still lose the 28?
He would lose a portion
– Or the 18, excuse me.
No, it would be transferred towards next season. So he would still
get
payment.
All of a sudden he's going to come down with COVID or something? Is that how this thing works?
That's right.
I think I've had it 8 times, but so far I feel good. I got the vaccination, but I'm ready to go again. Come on. What's your name? Your National Guardsman? Shoot!
Chubbs is in the chat room firing away and saying that Justin Fields is a generational talent. He was with you about Mitchell Trubisky, but he thinks that Justin Fields is going to be a great football player, and he hates
him. Well, there's a bunch of stupid guys in front of – I mean, I don't know how Trevor Lawrence got picked out of them. I don't know how dare they. I mean, you know, all of a sudden it was Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. We'll see what happens. I've been a Bear fan for too long to fall for what we all think. I go by what I see, what I do, and you know what? I hope the kid goes through. But, I mean, the nonsense that they're going to build a statue for him at Canton already, yeah, it's a lot of pressure on him. So we'll see what happens. But Allen Robinson is in now. He was a big Mitch guy, but what's he supposed to do?
Right.
You know? Well, so you got to join. Look, I'm not a big Grandel guy, okay? But I forgot about James McCann. He's gone. Mm-hmm. And Grandel's been doing much better lately. Mm-hmm. So what am I going to do? Keep fighting for a guy that's been gone and playing for the Mets, you know, the last 2-3 months? Or am I going to back this guy Grandel? I'll back him because mm-hmm. it's only going to make us look better. He's playing better. And that's just the way it is. I hope,
right?
You know, he proves me wrong. Just like Chris Paul. I hope Chris Paul, wins a title and proves me wrong. I don't have a problem with that. If I could fire on a guy for a 15-year career where he's number one and called him on this show and every other show, everybody knows what my phrase is, a regular season hero. Then if he wins a title, God bless him.
There you go. Well, and I think your approach to this has a lot of legitimacy. You're just saying, prove it to me, kid.
Prove it.
Prove it to me. Mitchell Trubisky won with this football team despite the fact that he had a head coach who didn't game plan for his strengths and just wanted to force feed him his offense and could have probably played better if Nagy would have coached him better.
He had a hell of a career with the Bears, 29-21, twice as many touchdowns as interceptions, very few turnovers. You know, he played, you know, on a team that they had a quarterback like Jay Cutler, who was 1-13 against the Packers, you know, had a very, was just average, you know, it was 57-57. So you look at 29-21, Cutler was 57-57. You see that Mitch saved Nagy's job last year. And he's, somebody said the other day, is he the best backup quarterback in football? There's no question. So I mean, that was easy. I said that 6 months ago with Eldo. He's the best backup. There's nobody better than him. So I think everything's going to turn out okay for him. I just think that the people got to calm down. The same people that were all in on Foles and everybody else except Mitch, just calm down, because your credibility is no higher than anybody else's. Calm down on Justin Fields. Let's see what happens.
Well, we all recall what the reaction in Chicago was when Jay Cutler was signed.
Oh, come on. I was against it day one. I know you won't find this hard to believe. I said, you haven't been watching him. If Denver's letting go of a 26-year-old quarterback, okay, and they were at the time pretty good at picking quarterbacks. If they're letting go of a guy in his mid-20s with that kind of talent, something's wrong. And something was wrong. And I don't want to hear any pity party for Jay Cutler. He sucked on the Bears. He did. I don't care what his records are. I mean, this is the Bears. It's the defensive and running back team of all time. Which, by the way, Pro Football Focus had Khalil Mack at number 6.
Yeah,
as the best. All of everybody, Brady, are you all out of your mind? There's no way he's a top 10 football player, Khalil Mack. None. Tell that story walking. Now, if you want to make him 11, go ahead. Last year, I must have been watching a different game. Okay, he has good games and bad games. But he's not Otis Wilson. He's not Dick Butkus. Yep. He's not, I mean, come on. Hey, he had the 1 year. Let's go.
Yep.
No.
Khalil Mack is a great football player, but he's not a top 10 player.
No, and he's losing steam. Come on. He's another year older from the double teams and everything else. Come on now. Let's get smart here.
You know, I was actually putting together a video as a tribute to John Facenda, who is finally making it to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
And, he wasn't around to talk it up. I know that. So he's been dead for a while. So, yeah,
exactly. I mean, why?
I mean, he should have been in a long time ago. His highlights were must-see TV back in the day.
Absolutely. And so one clip that I found was Khalil Mack running during the introductions. This was his first season when he came to the Bears.
He was great.
And he was mic'd. And by the time he left the tunnel and got to the end of the run, you could hear him saying, "Oh boy, that's a long run." And to me, that says this guy, from a cardio standpoint, is not in great shape. He can go 10 yards and be dynamo, but by the end of the game, we saw him losing steam, and that was because his cardio was not. And I can say the same thing about Hakeem Hicks. Those guys, great football players, but by the end, sometimes they were kind of losing their power.
2016, 2018, that's an eternity ago in the NFL. So I hope he has a great year. I want the Bears to do well. I just don't believe all the crap I hear, and that's why I got off. I had enough. You know, you can't even question if Justin Fields is going to be good or not. He's a no-brainer. Anybody, whoever uses the term a no-brainer, I don't use that all a lot. That means that it's not going to happen, you know?
Chubbs is saying that he thinks Roquan Smith might be the defensive player of the year this year, and I think there's a chance of that. He is an outstanding
young player. If he is, the Bears will make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I think the defense is going to have a letdown. I don't think you lost Fuller. You lost some other people. And nobody's focusing. All we're focusing on is Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. I think the defense is going to continue with a defensive coordinator that's been with them for like 8-9 years. And they finally said, well, let's give him a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he's been there and passed over more than a few times,
yeah.
He's going to be more aggressive. Well, yeah, I don't want to see Hicks in the defensive secondary. Yeah, I don't want to see him pass coverage.
Yeah,
so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm a little old school on that. I don't like to see Khalil Mack when dropping into coverage. Those guys are designed to get the quarterback. They should be going.
The thing about Khalil Mack is he still is a linebacker. Hicks isn't. Mm-hmm. Now, linebackers can't go back, but nobody's going to tell me. See, I always said this. Butkus could do both. Lawrence Taylor was not a gifted pass coverer. He was not.
Mm-hmm.
He was a beast rushing the passer, like Khalil Mack. But when I think of defensive linebackers that pass cover, his name doesn't come up, mm-hmm. you know. But it's a different position. He's more of a defensive end. That's what a Kevin Green type,
mm-hmm.
a football player back, with the late Kevin Green. Very linebacker, but was good at rushing the passer.
Bearstown 19 says, 2018, Bears never win a Super Bowl in my lifetime. Wait till next year, suffering Bears. Can you imagine? This guy probably is 19, 20 years old. He's never experienced the Bears winning a Super Bowl. And you and I, we've been following this team since the 60s.
Yeah.
We've got just one Super Bowl. Imagine our pain, Bearstown 19 show. Imagine our pain.
You know what, though? I always loved them. I don't love them since free. I always loved them all. I did as a kid growing up, and I thought they'd win every game, and they'd be 1-13. Then I worked with Doug Buffon, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I got to tell him in person, how could you only win one game? And they'd go, yeah, but we hurt a lot of people, little buddy. You know what I mean? It was all about, we love to see the Bears destroy people. Butkus, Buffon, you know, I mean, great, like Dick Evie, the defensive tackle, OB. I mean, monsters, just animals. But we lose. The 70s were dark. That's the darkest period. 70, I mean, in 65, you had Rudy Bukic, Gale Sayers, Dick Butkus, Dick Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm on my game today. It's off memory, folks. Think about that. So 60s were pretty good. We won the championship in 63. Mm-hmm. Sayers, we had Butkus in 65. Mm-hmm. So Rudy Bukic led the league in passing. 70s were brutal. 70s were just horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're hoping Cyril Pinder gains 50 yards on the ground, you're in big trouble.
Cyril
Pinder. Then the guy ended up getting a gig at ABC at WLS-TV. Cyril Pinder had his own sportscast. Like he was Mark G. and Greckle. Cyril Pinder.
Q from Cincy says, at least you all won. My Bengals been dark since 88. Yeah. There's a lot of teams out there that have suffered even more than the Bears.
You're right. Chris Collinsworth, Kenny Anderson. I mean, yeah, you know, nice teams. Not bad teams. Bill Burr. I mean, there was some great. I mean, I knew all the players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Singletary wasn't that great in coverage as Bears Towns. Yeah, I knew Urlacher was.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Urlacher wasn't great at reading the play,
mm-hmm.
but he could hunt you down.
Yeah.
Singletary, I don't think was a great pass cover.
Totally agree with you. Totally.
Yeah, I think he, you know, Marshall and Otis were better. I remember Otis Wilson's first year. He couldn't cover me. I went to watch him practice. They were very critical of him at the beginning. You can ask Otis.
Mm-hmm.
Then he just blossomed, you know. The better the defensive line got, the bigger it got, the better the linebackers played.
I was just going to say that. Singletary, you know, made it to
He gets mauled if they don't have Hampton and McMichael.
Exactly. I don't think
and he's the fridge.
Hall of Famer if he didn't have that front line.
Well, Jack Lambert says it. If I didn't have Mean Joe Green in front of me,
mm-hmm.
and who was it, Elsie Greenwood or
yeah,
Elsie Dwight, Ernie Holmes. Didn't have Ernie Holmes and me, Joe Green, in front of me, I would have gotten destroyed. He was like 215 pounds.
Yeah.
But they kept people off him.
Yep.
And he was a hunter just like Singletary.
Yep, exactly. All right, I want to talk a little bit about the White Sox and Josh Donaldson and Lucas Giolito. I've got a little audio video from this controversy, and just to set it up, Josh Donaldson hits a home run off of Lucas Giolito when he crosses home plate. You hear him say something about no sticky stuff. It's in this video. This clip is about 30 seconds long.
Ripped to left field, hit well, and back and gone.
Home run after that, and here, once again.
He's a f-ing pest. That's kind of a classless move. If you're going to talk to my face.
If we're going to talk about class, what side are you going to choose? Are you going to take the side of someone who's playing the game fair? Or are you going to take the side of somebody that was probably cheating before this happened?
What do you say about this little controversy?
I think Donaldson is using social media very well. I think there's people that disagree with him, people that do agree with him. Okay? But I will also say this. Donaldson made him look small from what I read today. I guess they met up after the game.
Mm-hmm.
Giolito had nothing to say, according to Donaldson. So, Donaldson, it looks like he's a badass to me. And he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Use the language. So, and he took on Ozzy, which is fun. Folks, believe me, take it from me. It's always a fun listen. And Ozzy came back at him. And I got three rings and good. I think it's good for baseball. I have no problem with it, just like I had no problem with Ozzy called me and we went back and forth. Mm-hmm. But Donaldson's a lot like me. He don't take no shit from anybody.
That is so true. This is really good for baseball.
I love it.
Sometimes baseball can.
And I love Ozzy, by the way. You've heard me say this no matter what. Mm-hmm. Ozzy may get a red ass. I think Ozzy, he came back at Donaldson with some good points,
mm-hmm.
I'd say this to Donaldson. I enjoy the back and forth, but what have you done? What is your team? I'm glad I like Josh Donaldson. If the Sox picked him up tomorrow, I'd be thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not getting it done. I mean, the Twins ain't getting it done. So it's just good fun. It's good stuff. And I just added pepper when you fire on Ozzy.
Yeah. Because
Ozzy's going to come back.
Oh,
I love
you it. Know it. You
absolutely. I would love to see those on Zoom. Like with me and Ozzy going at it was better. I like to see Ozzy on him and Zoom at the same time.
That would be fun. The only problem that I have with Josh is that he is making these allegations against Lucas cheating without there being any proof. Now, he did, to his benefit, he did say that the spin rate on Lucas Giolito's balls has decreased substantially.
Oh, yeah.
The league started to crack down. So you could say that's evidence, but
they're doing that with a lot of guys. Walker Buehler, mm-hmm. Trevor Bauer, a lot of guys. Garrett Cole, a lot of big guys. And there's people that don't like fixing the game in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Was he on the Houston Astros when they fixed the World Series? I'm trying to. Can you look at that?
Yeah, let me.
I think he might have been on Houston before he left.
Wow, that would be something.
I don't think he was. I'm because you know what? He's a third baseman. I think he was Houston. Maybe he was never on you because they got Bergman.
Yeah.
Or Bregman.
Let me see what his career are. No, never with Houston. He started with Brooklyn, Toronto, Atlanta, and then Minnesota.
Yeah. So he's been on a lot of teams, and I think he's better than that. He shouldn't, but the bottom line is they wear batting gloves. He was wearing batting gloves.
Mm-hmm.
They got pine tar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we got this whole rub. I would decree as commissioner tomorrow. No more batting gloves.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like Mark Grace. And no more sticky stuff. Just the rosin bag. And let's go to work.
Yep. The Major League Baseball, I think it was Hendricks who suggested that Major League Baseball should come up with their own.
Jimmy Hendricks?
The relief pitcher for Chicago, Hendricks.
Kyle Hendricks?
No, Liam Hendricks. Liam Hendricks, isn't it? Liam.
Oh, Hendricks. Liam. Yeah. The White Sox guy. Yeah,
White Sox reliever. He said that the Major League Baseball should come up with an approved sticky substance that way it's legal and everybody has to use.
I agree,
and I think that makes sense because the rosin thing doesn't work anymore.
Manfred is the worst leader in sports history.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, the worst. That this continue, this nonsense continue. How about once again, I will say, the players are mad still about the Astros winning the World Series in Boston the next year. And they're still, hey, look what he did with Ozzy. Look what I don't care how much, and I'm getting a little echo now, folks, but don't worry, it will go away. I don't care what anybody says. Ozzy doesn't want the Castro stuff brought up. He's trying to leave that behind him. He'd like to be a manager again. Does a good job on TV. But the Castro stuff is a stain that Tide can't get out. It's good. That goes gone. It's a stain that Tide can't get out. Nobody. There's always a couple things that's on your resume you never want brought up. And that for him is, hey, he's a Fidel Castro fan. And that's a thing that he's had trouble overcoming. And I'm sure that's the one thing that probably pissed him off more than anything.
Absolutely. You can hear me, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I totally agree with that. And I want to get back to your point that this is really good for baseball.
For me when I argued with Ozzy. It's good stuff, man. Ozzy's an entertainer.
Remind people of what that whole thing was between you and Ozzy when you were back at the Score Sports Radio. What happened?
Oh, well, Ozzy was going to play Toby Hall back off the DL instead of AJ Pierzynski in an important series against the Cubs. I said, no, don't do that. And he got mad about it, called up. We had a mini like jailhouse riot. And then it was over. But I was right about that. And, I'd like to see Ozzy maybe one night on his wonderful show with Frank Thomas. Oh, God, I love those two guys. I'm sure they'd love to see me again. I'd like to see him acknowledge that fact. That this whole thing started because he benched AJ Pierzynski to play Toby Hall. Toby Hall had two pass balls that day, which was just absolutely dreadful. But we can move on.
Bearstown 19 show says you can find that clip on YouTube, and we'll be sharing it here in a future show. Mike and I are planning something special. So Ozzy did say the F bomb, and you really got on him for
sure. I love Ozzy. Ozzy called in. Ozzy's great. Ozzy's good in the media. He's good on that show. You know, Ozzy's become the subject that, you don't want to be the subject usually, but Ozzy can handle it, and Ozzy will come back at you. That's beautiful. I never had a problem with him.
Do you think there's a chance that Ozzy will ever manage the White Sox again?
No. Really? I would like to hope that would happen, and maybe it will, because he's the logical choice for me if La Russa doesn't work out. But my God, I think La Russa's coming back next year. He's done a great job. And I just think, for some reason, I don't think Kenny Williams and him have ever hit it off. They could say they're friends now, but there was a lot of stuff thrown around. And I know some of those people over there are very thin-skinned. Believe me, folks, they're thin-skinned over there. And at times, not every one of them, but some of them. And they got a bad taste in their mouth on you. Then, they'll do what they can to make sure that, I'm glad that he's working. I'm glad he's involved in baseball.
Yep.
So that's how I feel about it.
Yep. Ozzy has become a broadcasting icon now with Chicago. His opinions, his style of delivery and so forth. He's really become a special part of
it. I would love. They should have me and him on one night.
Oh my gosh. Yes, please.
But I don't know. I don't know if they really want to do even better ratings than they do already. Maybe That would be must-see TV just for the fun of being with Ozzy again, talking to a guy that I respect. Uh-huh. The guy won the World Series, man.
Mm-hmm.
No, and he should manage again. I the Castro thing, that wasn't good. He had it was very short what happened, what he didn't last long in Miami, but I'd like to see him. I mean, there's managers that get 5-6 different chances, so I'd like to see it.
Yep. All right. Everybody is waiting. They're in the seat of their pants for.
Just keep in mind, I had the match yesterday. They lost by 18 runs. Okay. How do you like that for being cocky?
All right, anyway, Mike North, these picks are brought to you by WinDailySports.com and at WinDailySports on Twitter. Make sure you give them a follow and visit that website, WinDailySports.com. They can really make your dreams a reality. Mike, it's all yours.
All right, Cincinnati's playing San Diego today. Cincinnati's got Castile. They're favored, I believe. Let me just check out the black box here. Okay.
I love this black box.
Who doesn't love a black box? It's the best. In here. MLB odds. Here we go. Thank you. The box is of black variety, and it's a wonderful black box. Right now, it's San Diego plus 105 against, we won last week, take Cincinnati today, with Castillo, who's been pitching better lately, but he's been some rough road. He's not been as good as advertised. Cincinnati can hit, though, so I'll take San Diego to have a stinker today. Take the Cincinnati Reds. Aldo, back to you, my friend. And by the way, bet some golf, have some fun.
Yeah, since he was very happy about you picking the Reds. But he also wanted to know about this weekend's golf tournament. What is it? The tournament is called the Rocket Mortgage Classic.
Yeah, Rocket Mortgage. I don't know who's playing in it. Just look at Twitter. I'll come up with something. I had a lost week last week. Harris English played a great tournament, seven extra holes, overtime holes. Hickok did good as a young kid. Golf is at its epicenter right now. Betting on golf is fun. I won with John Rahm the week before. $1,100 on every 100. So, you're going to have your ups and downs with golf. Stick with it because you know what? You might be cold for a month and then you hit on a hot golfer and stuff like that. But not everybody's playing in the Rocket Mortgage. I'll be honest, I didn't look at the board yet. And they've been playing. Today they're playing. They started already. So, take a look at maybe I'll tweet something out on North to North tomorrow.
Yeah, because I love betting who could possibly end up in the top 10 as opposed to picking
a winner because the field. You did good. You had Roy Oosthuizen now. Didn't he collapse at the end? Yes, the moron hit the ball in the damn thing. What's happening with that guy? Hit it in the creek. He was going to win the whole thing.
What?
See, he always does that to himself.
Yeah.
He does that. That's why he hasn't won a major in a long time. I saw him a couple weeks ago miss like 3 5-foot putts.
Yeah.
And I got a good gambling story on golf.
Oh, cool.
I went 2-3 Sunday. But one of my wins, see, last night I was going to bet the Clippers. I decided I'm too tired to even dial the phone. Okay. I'm just going to enjoy it. I don't want to go through the stress. And I didn't bet them, and they got killed. And by the way, Paul George, that legacy crap, he had a crap game. Okay. He was a minus 27. He's a regular season hero, like I've always said. Okay. But I didn't bet the game and they got killed. Sometimes the bet you don't make is a winning bet. Because I would be down today because I would have taken the Clippers. And they just absolutely underperformed. So, keep it. The basketball's been tough. Hockey's been non-existent,
I got to tell you, Mike, I totally agree with you. I, too, was going to bet on the Clippers last night, and I didn't get around to
I didn't believe in them.
Yeah. And so, we'll see. The NBA Finals is going to be an interesting one because it doesn't appear there's going to be a major market team in the NBA. You think the NBA gives a crap about that stuff? Do you think they want marquee?
I like it. I like not having that piece of that. Never mind. I like not having LeBron. Anthony Davis. I don't give a damn what those guys are on the court. I like the survivor mode that these teams are in right now.
Right.
And now Chris Paul may win it because everybody's getting out of his way. There's no major stars. No Kawhi Leonard. No Giannis. I mean, think about all the guys that have gone down. No Harden. No Durant. I mean, all these guys are gone. There's Chris Paul. But Devin Booker is still the guy. I know Chris Paul played a great game. He's getting shots that he wouldn't normally get. Thank God. And Devin Booker is that nice little decoy. By the way, Scottie Pippen, really, come on. Are you serious, man?
Oh, we have to talk about that. Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think about Scottie Pippen alleging that Phil Jackson, his move to put Tony Kukoc into the game and take that final shot in that playoff game was a racial move? What do you
think? He went skin color on a play in a basketball game. I can't believe this guy. but then I can, because I was always against him. And I remember my friend Gene McCaffrey from Electric Avenue, Montgomery Ward. I was a big-time endorser on for him. He got me and Scotty together. He wanted us to patch it up. I said, I can't patch it up. I don't like the guy. Scotty didn't like me either. And like, we still don't like each other. But to put race and Phil Jackson, now I'll tell a June Jackson story. I think it was Howard Sudbury with me at the first celebrity three-point shootout, okay, which I won. And right before we went on, we were by the snack bar by one of the gates. I think it was Sudbury and I think Rick Tellender was with me. I'm not sure. And this woman comes up to me. She goes, are you Mike North? I go, yeah. I just wanted to tell you, I think you're a racist. You know who it was? She goes, my name's June Jackson. I go, why am I a racist? Well, you criticized my husband. I go, and your husband's not, he's white. She goes, and you criticize his moves on the basketball team. The pertinent players are black. What do you want me to do? Honest to God. I think Sudbury was the guy that was there. We just looked at each other and she walked away. So I don't know if there's anything to it. I do know this. Mm-hmm. If you are white and live in Utah, you're probably considered right-wing, red state GOP, right? And that's the way it is. People don't want to play there. A lot of people, we've heard about that, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The black population is minuscule in Utah. But if you live in Montana, you're an environmentalist, but there's no blacks out there. And Phil Jackson's main home. So we could all put this stuff together and have fun with it. But there's no way Tony Kukoc got picked because, and he bailed Scotty out. And now you hear Scotty say they're friends. Now, not then. And Kukoc, if he don't hit that shot, Eldo, Pippen, I think's gone. I think he's gone. And the whole thing about that bothers me because that's how a bigot thinks. Hey, he fat-shamed Jerry Krause. They mocked him incessantly about his height, his weight. So if they want to talk about bigotry, I got plenty for Scottie Pippen and other things any day of the week. So I think he's just a bad guy. I mean, you're promoting a bourbon at the expense of, and then you're calling Michael Jordan selfish. Good. I love Michael when he was selfish. And he passed the ball to Paxson and Kerr in two different instances instead of you, pal. And you know why? He wanted the shot made, period. Even Jackson said, pass the ball. He didn't say pass it. He didn't say don't pass it to Scotty. Michael knew who the shooters on those teams were. Scottie Pippen wasn't a last. Look at all his last second shots. They're either dunks or might be a couple 15-footers. But look at Scottie Pippen isn't filled with last second shots. It wasn't his job. He was a shadow. But he's had a tough year. He's divorced. He's lost his son. So I'm willing to cut him some slack. But come on, you're endorsing bourbon. And you went through all this stuff. So I've never been a fan. I think he was very fortunate to have Michael Jordan as a teammate. I think Krause engineered the greatest trade maybe in history, Holden Polonese and Jackson. And somebody said, well, he's going to mention Kukoc in his Hall of Fame speech. We better mention Krause, Jordan, and Jackson. He just seems ungrateful to me.
King Pookie Nation says, you think Pippen and Phil are friends now?
Well, here's what I do know. When I was accused of stuff, everybody told me that was pertinent in my circle. Mm-hmm. And I had a small circle. Mm-hmm. Whether they said this or that, they said ignore it. And sometimes you can't. Mm-hmm. And I would say, if you're Phil Jackson, it's pretty tough to hear. Okay? And where's your representation to say something? Mm-hmm. But Jordan, too. If Jordan wanted to burn Scotty down, he could burn him down. Mm-hmm. I think he's always been gracious to him because I think other people could have won titles with Jordan. If you think we needed Scottie Pippen instead of Barkley or Malone, or I mean, I saw something on Sean Salisbury today, which I was astounded by. Boy, we're doing more than I thought, and I love it.
This is awesome. But you got a show to do, so we got to let you go pretty soon.
I know. That's okay. I want to just make this point.
Sure.
Because I looked at Sean Salisbury's feed today. And they talked about Who hasn't won a playoff that you'd like to see? They listed Barkley, Malone, Stock. Ewing got the least amount of votes.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought Ewing is the guy I'd like to see win a championship, if not for Michael. You know? So everything's perception. Okay? Scottie Pippen was a shadow that made the top 50. They could throw him off. He averaged 16 points a game. He was a great defensive player, but come on.
Mm-hmm.
They kept a lot of guys off that could play. So that's how I feel.
Yeah, I'll tell you very quickly that I think part of the reason that Scottie is coming forward is he hated the way he was portrayed in The Last Dance.
Yeah, I agree.
He hated what Phil said about him, what MJ said about him, and now he's firing back. One of the criticisms he had about Phil Jackson was the book that he read where Phil Jackson revealed certain things about Kobe Bryant. So he's like in this stage of, you guys should just keep your mouth shut. That was all internal stuff. Why are you talking bad about me now? He wants to preserve his legacy, and he's firing back the only way he knows how. And he's
you know what? It's good stuff for us to talk about, but I was there. I was there for the migraine game when he didn't want to play an impertinent game in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I still say to this day he was hungover. He's never had a migraine problem since or before. Okay? And I think the 1.8 was despicable. I thought it was cowardly. And now that he's putting race into it, I have no regrets firing on him. I really don't. Mm-hmm. That's pitiful. It really is.
Let me tell people that if you want more of Mike North right now in about 20 minutes,
in 10 minutes.
go to the at Win Daily Sports Twitter page and catch the Bet Like Mike show. It happens every Monday through Friday. It's a great show. And Mike, you better get going here because you don't want to be late for your other job.
Yeah, we got a couple things to talk about beforehand, but that's okay. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.